Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh. I'm Jennifer. We recently did an episode about ride hailing, which is the term for catching a taxi, a Lyft, or a similar service. And at first, James and I were going to call that ride sharing, but one of our awesome listeners pointed out that ride sharing is actually more like carpooling. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2013, 76% of people drove alone to get to work. First of all, holy cow, wow. I guess I'm not really surprised by that figure, but what I didn't guess was the second highest method of transportation. It's still the car, with 9.4% of people carpooling to work. And that just threw me off a little. I figured transit would be second, but it actually came in third, and that's 5.2% of people relying on it to get to work. Well, that awesome listener who pointed out the difference between ride hailing and ride sharing is Paul Straw, and he's with Share the Ride NC. And he's joining us today to explain that, yes, there is an option if you want to carpool here in the Triangle. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Really glad to be here.
So, Paul, let's start off with that definition. So you obviously took the time to say, hey, Jennifer, you got that wrong. Is this something you hear a lot from people?
It is a misconception that still persists. Within our industry, I think it has gotten better. But I think the public still has a misunderstanding of what ride hailing is compared to ride sharing, and that's understandable. For us, and sometimes making that distinction, it's something that's important for us. We have two big factors that play into why we want to make that clarification between ride hailing, and sometimes that's called TNCs, transportation network companies, so you might see that. That's your Lyfts and your Ubers, though, versus like typical ride sharing, carpooling, vampooling, that kind of thing. One of the big reasons is legislative decisions. So we might hear of decisions being made that impact the Ubers and the Lyfts out there, where a city might decide that organization can't operate in that city. And so we don't want the possible negative decisions that are being made legislatively to have an impact on our industry, our ride sharing industry versus ride hailing. So making that clarification is really important for us. And then it's also important to make this distinction because of what these programs do. Ultimately, when we look at carpooling, we are trying to reduce the amount of vehicles that are out there. Really important for us, we're trying to make the environment better and make reduce congestion, things like that. Ride hailing doesn't necessarily have that same objective. They provide a very valuable service. I love Lyft and Uber and I use them. They have a different objective, though, and they don't necessarily reduce the amount of vehicles on the road. So making that distinction has been really important for our industry.
Well, and probably a lot of people don't realize there is a way to carpool here in the Triangle. And this program, as I mentioned, is called Share the Ride NC. So can you tell us more about it? Who organizes this?
Absolutely, yeah. So I am the system administrator of Share the Ride NC. So I'm your go-to person for that item. Share the Ride NC, it is North Carolina's statewide ride matching system. So we do help people find carpools and vanpools. That's kind of the bread and butter of what we do. We also help people find walking partners, transit partners, bike buddies. So we can really help with any commute mode out there where somebody's trying to find a potential match. It also houses some other really important programs. I think we're going to talk about that as this podcast goes on. So we'll get into that, things like Emergency Ride Home and Go Perks. But they're really, really important programs. It's free programs to the public. So in terms of who organizes it, we are made up of several MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations throughout the state, as well as funding from NCDOT and some federal funding. That pays for this to help make the whole thing free for everybody. So that's really nice. And these organizations keep this 100% free, which is kind of the big selling factor, I think, a lot of times for this. But the fact that it is a statewide program, that's really important because it means we have a lot more people utilizing this service. And the more people you have in this pool of options, the more likely you are to find matches, which is really important.
And maybe we'll talk more about the matching process here in a second. Sure. But real quick, I'm curious about the number of people using it. So I sent you some stats I found in Governing Magazine talking about Durham-Chapel Hill, NC metro area. They said 11% of all commuters here carpool. 13% of those are auto car commuters carpooling. And about 3.5% of those auto commuters are carpooling with three or more people. And they threw the total carpool numbers around 26,000 people. So is that about what you've got, or do you have better, more up-to-date, accurate info?
Sure, yeah. Data is always one of those really tricky things to evaluate. Yeah. So census data is very, very valuable in a lot of ways. How we analyze that data is really important. And there's a lot of variables as far as what constitutes carpooling. Did somebody just do it one time and now they're a carpooler? Did they do it five times a week? So the frequency can be a factor in that. How many people carpool? A lot of variables that sort of make up data. So data is a really tricky thing, and it's something I play around with a lot. So the census data, that's great. I think that's very valuable numbers. We can analyze it from our perspective of just essentially share the ride and see. With share the ride and see, we can know how many people are registered, and we're in the ballpark of 12,000 active users right now. That can fluctuate quite a bit. We don't want to keep too many people in a system if they're no longer interested in matching up with the carpool. So somebody might register, they lose interest, or maybe they found their carpool partner and they no longer need to be part of the system. So those accounts become inactivated. So we definitely have a very flowing cycle of users. And that's really important for us. We want to make sure that if you're in the system, you're active and you're willing participant and want to match up with people, or maybe you're using the site for other reasons like the incentive programs and emergency ride home, things like that. But just based off of our stats, the thing that's really been the most helpful for us is individuals who track their trips. We have a commute calendar tool on Share the Ride and See. It's a real easy process, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And you can just track your trips. The data that we collect from those trips that are being tracked, super, super valuable. So just based off of people who are tracking their trips, we've figured out that this roughly falls in line with, I think, what we have for the census data. 9% of our users are carpool trackers, 6% are vanpool, so that constitutes about 15% of our sort of ride-sharing services. We have 23% do bike and walk tracking, and then 43% sort of by comparison do transit trip tracking. So we have maybe a larger base of users who actually track their transit trips. So we definitely get a lot of really good valuable data from Share the Ride and See.
And how long have you been tracking this? Is it going up or down?
It's going up for good, sure. So good. That's really, really good. Always happy to see that. We do a lot of reporting on our data, of course. Just because of how we are funded, we always want to justify the programs that we offer. So we collect a lot of data, which is really, really important to us. So we have seen consistent growth. And we can talk about some of these numbers here in a second. Some of the numbers I want to talk about, it's generated through this family of services that we offer. So Share the Ride and See, it's a really good, powerful tool that we have. And locally, we have this TDM partnership made up of like the City of Raleigh folks. We have NC State, we have Wake County, Durham County, Orange County, Duke University, UNC, Wake Tech, Go Chapel Hill. We all work together as this TDM partnership, and we get a lot of good data just based off of that. So looking at some of the data that Share the Ride NC is part of, but also a culmination of all the different efforts that we have, I have sort of just some interesting stats I'll just drop on you. So we have like 5 million vehicle trips that have been avoided in 2017, so that's pretty impressive. We have 2.3 million gallons of gas saved. That equates to 4 Olympic pools, swimming pools, so that was a pretty impressive stat.
Wow,
and even things like 54 million commute miles reduced, that equates to 113 trips to the moon and back. So it's great to see the impact that we are having locally in this area.
Absolutely. Wow. If you can send me those, I'll link to those in our show notes.
I will.
In case listeners were like, wait a minute, what was that? So you mentioned it's actually free for people to get a ride, which I wasn't sure about. So how much does it cost in terms of taxpayer money? Like, what's the Share the Ride NC budget?
Sure. So yeah, very important to point out that it's free to users. Everything in Share the Ride NC is essentially grant funded or federally funded. So in that sense, there's no cost to the users, which is really important. I wouldn't know the exact tax breakdown just because of how grants get distributed. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not the best person to answer that. But I think most importantly, knowing that it's free to the users is a really, really important component of what makes the tool successful. And that can let us touch upon the goals of why we get this funding. We have really big, important goals to improve air quality. That's a big part of what we like to do. And taking vehicles off the road is a really good way of improving the air quality that's out there. We do a lot of what we do is try to make the air quality better. We do reduce congestion sort of as a byproduct almost of that and just get people to stop driving alone.
You mentioned two things, carpooling and vanpooling. maybe you could explain both, because I was curious about the vehicles I'm riding in. I guess I was thinking about vanpooling when I thought about that. So can you explain the difference and then how many vanpool vehicles you have?
Sure. Yeah. And this can sort of touch upon the cost perspective from the user. So when it comes to carpools, carpools are essentially 2 to 4 people typically. Vanpools will typically be 7 or more individuals. With carpools, it's typically the car, the vehicle owners themselves that are going to be the operator of the vehicles. And so as far as cost is concerned with carpooling, it can really vary. You know, sometimes you have carpools that match up and one person you drive. One day you drive, the next day I drive. And so we switch vehicles around. So therefore, there's no money exchange. We just sort of take turns driving. And that's a great way to carpool. Maybe I don't own a car and you own a car. And so I'd be willing to chip in a few dollars to help with whatever the cost might be of fuel and maintenance and things like that. So Share the Ride NC, we don't actually have any say-so as far as what that cost is going to be for carpools. Really, we want to be the conduit for getting one commuter in touch with another commuter, get them talking to each other, and then they can work out a lot of these details. So which vehicle is going to be used, how much money is going to be exchanged, if any, parking, the time when you're going to pick each other up, things like that, even which radio station you might want to listen to. These are all variables that really make for a good, long-lasting, successful carpool. You know, if you're country and I'm heavy metal, maybe we're not the best match, but maybe we could be. You know, we just really want to get people talking to each other to figure that out. In terms of vanpooling, Go Triangle, and there are several vanpool organizations that operate through Share the Ride NC. So Go Triangle oversees about 60 different vans that are in the system. So you can find vanpools using Share the Ride NC. You can do the same thing with in the western side of North Carolina. We have there's a part Piedmont region. They oversee a vanpool program through Share the Ride NC. Charlotte does as well. So you can find different vanpools that are operated through Share the Ride NC. Vanpool costs can really vary as well. It depends on how many people are in the vanpool. It can depend on the distance of the vanpool, things like that. So a lot of times on Share the Ride NC, the cost will be displayed for that van. So that can be helpful for evaluating your options.
Okay, so let's back up and explain how it works then to get a ride, because maybe I'm interested, but do I end up, you know, in a carpool or a vanpool, and how would we determine that? And you talked about matching, so how does all that work?
Right, so probably the most important part of all this is actually giving you the site. So Share the Ride NC, you can go to sharetherideNC.org, or the short version of it is just strnc.org. So we'll make sure that you have those links. And the registration process, really quick, really easy. As part of the registration, we do ask that you set up a profile. The profile tells us a little bit about what your commute looks like. So that will be an important component of getting you matched up. So when you create this profile, you can just enter in where you want to begin your commute. Typically, that would be your home. But let's say you don't feel like entering your home address, or maybe you want to start your commute from a park and ride lot. You can just enter that origin address as whatever it is that you're comfortable listing in the system. And then you want to enter in what your destination would be. Typically, your destination will be your work address, but it could be whatever destination it is that you have. And then we have your schedule that gets listed. And then some other little variables that come into play. So once you've created your profile, the site, really easy. It will guide you and hold your hand through this entire process. And it'll take you into the next phase of finding your matches. So one of the first things we show you is all of your different types of matches. So if you're whatever it is, you'll see what it is. You'll see that you have 50 carpool matches. You'll see that you have 3 vanpool matches. You have some transit options that are available. You might have a handful of bike buddies or transit buddies. So you will see all of those being displayed for you. So you have your options just automatically being displayed right there for you. And then if you're interested in exploring kind of what those options are, you can click on carpool, we'll say. And so carpooling, you'll see that you have those 50 or however many matches it might be. And you can see some of the information of who those matches are. So with Share the Ride NC, the privacy of individuals' information is really important to us. We do not share any other information than a person's first name. If somebody wants to share more than that, they have that option. You can choose a photo for your little avatar if you wanted to. It's not required, but you can choose to share that. And you can choose to share your phone number or your email address, but by default, we do not give that information out. And you can't see where somebody's home address is. You can't see where their destination is. We always make sure there's an approximation of that information because privacy is very, very important to us. So we want to make sure that when somebody gets registered, they're comfortable with the process, that their information is not being given out. And so we make that process very, very easy for them. So let's say that you're taking a look, you can see who your matches are, and you might see a really good match, somebody that lives near you, they work near you, they have about the same schedule. You can email that person through the site. If you choose to share your contact information, you can use that as the tool for talking to each other. If not, all the emails will be processed through the Share the Right NC system, so no private information is given out. And that's when you just begin that conversation of, let's explore getting into a carpool together. So typically, the two individuals, they'll have destinations that are near each other, and you likely live near each other too, but the destinations are almost always very close to each other, probably work in the same building a lot of times or just down the street from each other. So when we think about meeting somebody new, we want to make sure somebody's comfortable with that process. We always encourage people to meet in a public space or someplace where you're comfortable meeting somebody new for the first time, even if they work in your company. Maybe there's a break room you can meet in, a cafeteria, something like that, maybe over coffee, something like that. A place where you're comfortable meeting somebody for the first time that's new, just make sure that's a process that you're comfortable with. And then you talk about all those details again, who's going to drive, how much money, you know, what radio stations are we going to listen to, that kind of thing. You know, make sure it feels like it's a good match. Okay. And then hopefully that turns into a long lasting experience. And if the first person you talk to, maybe that's not a great match, just go down to number two, three, just keep going down the list until you find that perfect match. So we try to make it as easy, as quick as possible for the user.
Wait, is your radio stations listed on your profile?
you can have a note section. It's not actually like a drop-down choice. Some of the drop-down choices, though, and that's a good point, is you can indicate if you're, you know, male or female. So it's a requirement. And so let's say that you're a woman and you would just rather prefer to ride with other women, you can uncheck men. So that way you match with women only. If you're a non-smoker and you want to match with other non-smokers, you can uncheck that smoker box. And so we help you make sure you get matched up with the preferences that make you feel comfortable.
This sounds so much like a dating app. I wonder if anybody's ever met the love of their life this way. If you've done that, carpoolers out there, I want to hear your story.
I want to hear it
fantastic.
Too. Yeah, maybe we'll include that as part of our surveys.
So listening to you talk about this process, it strikes me that there's probably a lot of people going out to the same destination, which is RTP in our area. Do you feel like there are some of the more common routes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what we find when we just sort of look at cluster maps of where we have our density, we have a lot of people coming from rural areas into more urban areas. And so it's sort of like the flow of traffic. You see, like when we have congestion in the mornings and you see the news report saying like 40 is horrible right now, people are sharing that same commute. We definitely have quite a bit of people, and it is scattered all across the state, of course, but the more populous the destination is, the more likely that there's going to be congestion going into that. So we definitely see that. So when you look at RTP and downtown Raleigh and in Charlotte, all those big major metropolitan areas, we have a need to get people into carpools. Absolutely. And so that's primarily, I'd say, what it looks like. And if you've ever been on 40 in the mornings, and I work in RTP, you know, we see it every day. It's vehicle after vehicle after vehicle. It's just every single vehicle, it's a single occupancy vehicle.
Absolutely.
And so it's a little frustrating to see from our perspective, but it also helps individuals realize that there's this tool that's out there with Share the Ride NC that can really help them find their matches. And if you are going into an area that's full of congestion, or maybe there's parking constraints, a lot of times, I'll use a good example here with downtown Raleigh, was the State Employees Credit Union, that giant building. They had a limited parking capacity.
Oh, sure.
There. And so they had moved a lot of their offices into the one big office downtown. And we worked really closely with them, and they've been just a champion of promoting Share the Ride NC and transit options. The fact that they had parking constraints, that really led them and their employees to find solutions, and Share the Ride NC has been a really good solution for them.
You talked about I-40 and maybe you're seeing all these cars with just one person in them. Sell me carpooling. Tell the readers, or the listeners, excuse me, what are the benefits?
Sure. So there's a lot of benefits, I think, you know, just from a cost saving standpoint, you know, that's a pretty obvious one. I think, you know, you reduce your cost for every single person that you have in the vehicle. So if one other person is in your vehicle, your cost is cut in half. So from a cost standpoint, that's fantastic. Hard to beat that. It's also really beneficial for reasons that people maybe don't think about. I get this a lot, just because of the role that I play with Share the Ride NC. I'll get a call or an email from somebody saying, you know, I've been offered this job at Duke University or the VA, and I really want to take it, but I don't own a car. Transit doesn't serve my area. What can I do? And so carpooling can be this real lifesaver for people who just don't have another option. So that's really where I think carpooling and manpooling can really shine. It's where transit has its gaps. And I know with Wake County and our entire region, actually, you know, we're getting a more robust transit system, which is really exciting. That doesn't mean it's going to serve everybody. And so carpooling can really be one of those lifesavers. And especially when we look at it from individuals who have rural commutes to urban environments, that can be a situation where we really can help them out. And we hear this all the time. Somebody says, you know, I come from here and, you know, I go here and there's not a chance in the world somebody else has that same commute. I promise you, somebody shares that same commute. We have literally had people sitting right next to each other in a class where we're showing off, Share the Ride NC, and they both say the same thing. There's no way anybody else shares this commute. They are neighbors next to each other at the desk, and they're neighbors in reality. So I strongly encourage individuals to look into what their options are.
Yeah, you mentioned the results are like 50, and I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot, and especially with the rural areas. But you're saying there's probably at least one or two.
Absolutely, yeah.
And hopefully they're not horrible people that you wouldn't want to sit in the car.
Right. You know, I go from downtown Raleigh to that's where my home is to RTP, and our system.
That's a very common one.
Yeah, and our system maxes out at 99 matches, and I find 99 matches every time I do a search. And of the 99, I'd say the first couple dozen are really, really good, high quality matches. Share the Ride NC. We will try to. There's an algorithm that we do to make sure we get you the best matches possible. And so the closer you live to each other, and the closer your destination are to each other, the better that is for this algorithm to make sure you're matched up with people. But maybe there's somebody who lives 5 miles away or 10 miles away from you, but they drive right through your neighborhood on their commute. That could be a potentially perfect match. And so we want to make sure that those matches are being displayed as well. So you will find, you're guaranteed to find matches. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes you would have to do some work to make it happen. But we want to make sure that we give people that opportunity to at least talk to each other, and then they can work out some of those details.
So obviously it's a good way to have fewer cars on the road. And you talked about congestion and air quality and all this. And frankly, I hate driving, so I'm in. Is there an argument for taking this instead of transit, though, if transit does go to where you're saying, because you're saying this was a great gap filler?
Right. Yeah. I love all alternative commuting options. So I will praise transit riding, bike riding, walking, anything that essentially stops people from driving alone. So I'm going to encourage that behavior. In terms of carpooling, I think of it as my personal example, and I hear all kinds of stories and reasons why people carpool, but I love taking transit. And for me personally, though, I get motion sick if I'm on transit, and I'm also a control freak. So I like to drive. I love driving my carpool. So that's good for my control freak aspect. But everyone has you know, different reasons why it's beneficial to them. Some people love the relationships that they've built with carpools and vanpools. You know, our vanpools are really, really strong. We have lots of really good stories that come out of our vanpool riders. You know, our vanpool family, they love each other. And so that can be a great reason for some people just to vanpool. They just enjoy the company.
It's funny you approached about this episode, because I feel like I don't hear about carpooling that much. I feel like it used to be something you occasionally heard about in pop culture references. My main recollection of carpooling is in Dogwood and the comic strips in the newspaper, and he would carpool with his coworkers, I guess. But I've never met anybody who actually carpools. Even in big cities where you have the HOV lanes where they're really encouraging carpooling, I still haven't met someone who does it. So do you have any information about the popularity of it over the years? Is there like a cultural hang up about this?
Yeah, it's a good question. It makes me sad because it's something I'm very passionate about. It's something I care a lot about. So I think, you know, and like thinking on like the Dogwood cartoon, I thought that was a really good example. I think that sort of spawned from the energy crisis back in the 70s. And so there was big campaigns that started to really encourage ride sharing and carpooling. And so so that kind of takes us down the path of why would people want to carpool? There's the benefits like we've talked about, but then there's these factors that really come into play that, that push people into making choices for carpooling. So energy crisis, good example. Cost. If the cost of gas goes up, we will 100% see an increase in carpooling. So the more people have to pay to drive alone, the less likely they're going to want to drive alone. So as much as I hate to say it, fuel prices going up is a good thing for at least job security for me. So I don't look at it too bad. So cost is a big factor with fuel prices increasing. And then also just congestion and parking constraints. Some of the examples we talked about downtown, if you can't park, you have to find a solution. And so carpooling can be a really good solution. A lot of our employers nowadays, they're trying to encourage this behavior. You know, they'll have preferential parking spaces for carpoolers. So yeah, I'd love to think there's this altruistic side of people where it's like they want the environment to be better, and that's why they carpool. I think ultimately it really boils down to you just get frustrated with the traffic every single day. You get frustrated with gas prices, and you reach your breaking point, and then you start to look into a solution, and that's hopefully where Share the Ride NC comes in to save the day.
All right. Well, people out there listening need to check this out, Share the Ride NC. And if you are sick of sitting in traffic on I-40, you should definitely do this. Well, I did want to move on and touch on these other two programs that are associated with this. And those you kind of mentioned, they're GO Perks and the Emergency Ride Home. I wanted to touch on GO Perks first because I am seeing more tweets about it lately. Maybe there's just a big marketing push. I don't know. Let's hear more about that.
Sure. Yeah. And there have been some pushes. So that's good to see that you're getting that.
I'm seeing them. They're working.
Fantastic. GO Perks is an incentive program that we launched in 2015. And it's a program that encourages commuters to either change how they commute or at least reward these, we call them smart commuters a lot of times. I probably said that a handful of times here. These are people who take transit, carpool, vample, or walk, bike, any of these individuals, any of these smart commuters, we want to reward that behavior. And so GO Perks, it is housed on Share the Ride NC. And so you go into Share the Ride NC and get registered, like we've talked about. And there's the commute calendar tool. And so this tool, it's very, very valuable for a variety of reasons. You drag and drop your commute. So if you drove in a carpool, you would indicate that you drove a carpool, just drag and drop real quick and easy. If you biked in or you took transit, just kind of drag and drop in this calendar, the whatever your commute was for that day, and you will automatically see the impacts of your commuting choices. So you'll see how much money you're saving. You'll see the greenhouse gas reduction that you've caused. You'll see how many calories you're burning if you bike or walk. So you get this really good data just from choosing to track your commutes. More importantly, in terms of the incentive program, is those trips that you track earn you points. And so those points can then be applied to the GO Perks incentives that we offer. And we have a lot of different incentives. Every single month, the prizes change. And so it's a good way to keep things fresh, keep people coming back. We offer a lot of different incentives. They can be anywhere from $5 to $10 prizes, sometimes $20, $25 prizes. We have Durham Bulls tickets. They're one of our sponsors. So we have some Durham Bulls tickets that are out there. And so in terms of encouraging people to track their trips and receive a benefit, it's been really, really good. We don't give out information to anyone else. That data, really the things that matter is we want to know how you commuted that day, and we want to see the impacts of that particular commute choice.
One of the things I noticed when I was checking out the website is that it looks like my employer has to be registered for this. For it to work. So what if I work for myself, which I do? So
right. Yeah.
How do I participate?
Yeah, really good question. And this will tie into Emergency Ride Home as well. So that will not prohibit you from being able to take advantage of GO Perks. The main reason that we want to know more about who you work for is just so we can work with that employer and promote some of our programs and make sure that if you know about it, we want your coworkers to know about it as well. And there's a lot of solutions. There's a whole suite of services that we can offer, from educating people about, you know, Share the Ride NC to how to ride transit, all these different services that we can offer. We want to make sure that the organization knows about these. And so really, that's the main reason we want to know who your employer is. The registration process is really quick and easy to get your employer part of this process. There's no cost or anything like that. All the services that we offer are completely free. So no catches. It's really just a good opportunity for us to work with that employer. And even if you're self-employed, that's fine. We just want to know who that is. And then we get you into the system and utilizing it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, especially with some of the bigger companies. I mean, obviously, you want to be talking to IBM at RTP because
absolutely.
Tons of people out there. Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
So emergency ride home, let's quickly touch on that. I'm so fascinated by this because I read about it and I was like, oh my gosh, if I had only known. My husband used to work at RTP and he used to take the bus out there from downtown. And one day he missed the last connector shuttle bus, whatever that thing's called. And so he was stranded and I had to go get him. And if we had known about this, oh my gosh, it would have been so cool. Because I talk about this on the show a lot. I think one reason people are nervous about trains is they're like, oh, what if I'm stuck? There's no freedom. If you miss the last bus, right, you're like, what do I do? And the taxi cab ride or Lyft ride out from RTP to downtown is pretty hefty. So explain to our listeners what the emergency ride home is and why I'm so excited.
Sure. Yeah, no, you touched upon it perfectly because we've learned over time that when we ask what stops you from choosing an alternative commuting option, it's always what if. What if my kid gets sick and I have to go take care of my child? Or, what if I have to stay late and that's going to cause me to miss the last bus? All these what ifs, they add up and they scare people. And so we came up with the emergency ride home program to help eliminate that what if factor. So with emergency ride home, again, it's another program that's housed on Share the Ride NC. So we want to have you registered on Share the Ride NC to take advantage of it. The process is really quick and easy for obtaining a trip. Essentially, you just go on to Share the Ride NC, click on the emergency ride home section, and then it'll walk you through the steps. The process, though, is we have different taxi providers that can either come and pick you up with a taxi service. Typically, what we like to do is if the commute is 20 miles or less, we try to do taxi services. From a cost standpoint, that's a very efficient option for us. And then if it's more than 20 miles, between like 20 to 60 miles, we start to evaluate. We can have a rental car be one of our options as well. And then after 60 miles, we strongly encourage. We're not going to say it's mandatory because some people don't have a license or maybe you're so ill that you can't drive a vehicle. So we're not going to force you to drive a rental car if you're not well enough to do so. But from a cost standpoint, it becomes very cost effective for us from like 40 miles to 60 miles or more to start to look at rental car options. So we can set somebody up with a rental car or a taxi. So those are our two options. The process, again, it's super quick, super easy. We've even streamlined it recently to make the whole process even more efficient for users, and we're getting really, really positive feedback. It's just emergency ride home is just one of these game changers within our industry. It really allows people the comfort of knowing that they will have an option, a ride home, in case they have an emergency.
Right, and it's free to them. And I think the only caveat is you can't be using this all the time. Obviously, it's an emergency ride home. So I think it was one every 6 months. Was that right?
So it's let's say that your employer isn't registered on and I'll tell you how to get registered here. So you can only have one trip. And then if your employer is registered, you can take advantage of up to 6 trips per calendar year.
Okay.
Most of our users, they either never use it or maybe once, maybe twice. We very, very rarely have anyone use it up to that 6 times, but it's there if they need it.
So how many of these rides were used in last year, 2017?
2017.
Or whatever you got?
We actually don't have a whole lot of people who use it. So it was 50 trips. So not bad by any stretch. I think that was one of the most used number of emergency ride home trips in a year. We definitely see a lot of people register because of emergency ride home. Again, it's just that security blanket for them. Some of the studies, the stats sort of jump around a little bit. Between 20 to 30% of our users register on Share the Ride NC for the purposes of the emergency ride home program. So again, it's just something that says, it's okay if you want to carpool or vanpool or take transit, we'll get you home.
So real quick, how do I get my employer registered? I think you said you were going to touch on that.
Right. Yeah. So super simple, gotriangle.org/ERH. Click on that link and you'll see all the information about emergency ride home and how to get your employer registered. We hardly need any information. We basically just know who we need to talk to within that company and we'll get the ball going.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for joining us on the show today. Hopefully somebody out there listening didn't have an option for taking the bus and now found out, hey, I don't have to sit in I-40. I can carpool. I'd love to hear from listeners out there if you've tried carpooling in the Triangle, whether you like just hooked up with a friend or coworker, or you did use the Share the Ride NC program. And of course, you can always share your ideas for future show topics. So either way, find us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at inboundraleigh. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.